Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everybody to the BFD Fantasy Football Tuesday Night Special. For the next 45 minutes, Joe will be out of the country, so you're stuck with me. My name is Dave Tripoli. Will be an exciting night. We got a lot to talk about to get you ready for Week 9. A lot of free agents, a lot of daily picks, a lot of things going on that will definitely get you ready to dominate this week. So let's start it off. Don't forget, if you haven't, BFD is set up with Scout Fantasy. $12, you get great content over there. Those guys do exceptional work. Well-run organization, a lot of great weekly content. If you sign up using the BFD code BFD16, you get 3 free months and $12 in game credit. It's definitely a great deal to take advantage of. Like I said, they have a lot of great content over there. They have a lot of guys who have won a lot of money playing fantasy football. Definitely something to take advantage of, especially this late in the season when you're getting ready for the playoffs and getting ready on, just to get ready on, get yourself ready for the week, take advantage of these bye weeks that are vastly approaching that are definitely going to be big down the stretch when trying to make the playoffs. A lot of things to cover this week. Again, Joe will be out of the country, so it's just me running the show tonight. Definitely will be an interesting episode. We'll bring a lot to the table. We'll start off with the Jamaal Charles will be out in IR. There's a chance he would come back, but I highly, highly doubt it. Spencer Ware, concussion, but also will not play this week. So fire up your Charcandrick West jerseys. Get him ready. If he's a free agent, pick up by far the number one pickup on waivers this week. Running back position, very, very struggling this year. A lot of questionable starts this week. There's not that many great options. He might be a top five play this week. Somebody that if he's available against a very, very weak Jacksonville defense is definitely somebody I would look at. Obviously, Spencer Ware has been very valuable. Jamaal Charles, before he got injured, was a pretty high draft pick this year, but just never worked out because the knee injury is definitely going to hurt him from a long-term perspective. So if Charcandrick West is available, he's definitely the guy that I'm 100% looking at. Another big news of the day, really not a fantasy news, but it'll definitely hurt the team. And also, Trent Williams suspended 4 games. Not good for the Washington Redskins. He is, by far their best offensive lineman. Kirk Cousins will definitely be affected by this. Matt Jones, Rob Kelly, they do have a week being on bye this week, so it will help them get acclimated a little bit, but man, crushing loss for that team. A team that's right in the thick of things in the NFC East, who's coming off another tie in the NFL, which we'll get to later, and how stupid that is. But Trent Williams popped 4 games, big loss. It's going to hurt the running game. It's going to hurt Kirk Cousins' time. Jameson Crowder has been by far the best receiver, not named Jordan Reed. Will definitely be affected by this. So it's definitely to watch. Definitely something to fantasy owners will, from a running game perspective, he's, like I said, best by far. So it's definitely something that you need to watch and going forward, it's pretty much plug and play right now. I can just go and all climb up the street. It's definitely something that, will affect this team long term. Other news that have been pretty big today. Last week, Julio Jones, probably the number one matchup in fantasy football. I don't see many guys who didn't rank him as the number one receiver coming off the board. What a clunker that was. They put up 60-plus points in that game, and Julio Jones had 4 to 5 fantasy points, no touchdowns. What a disgraceful fantasy effort in a spot where most people thought he was going to put up 30-plus. He did get a little bone bruise in that game. All signs pointing that he's going to be good to go for this week against Tampa Bay on Thursday Night Football. It's definitely something to watch. But, again, another A-plus matchup. But fantasy owners hate that when a guy that is in such a marquee matchup against a Green Bay secondary that was pretty much decimated with injury just go out there and pretty much do nothing. So that was definitely crushing for fantasy owners. But the positive news is it looks like Julio Jones will be fine. Good to go this week in another A-plus matchup on Thursday Night Football. So not something I really worry about, but something to definitely keep an eye on. Hopefully he's 100% because Julio Jones is definitely going to be somebody that you're going to need coming down the stretch because he has 30-plus upside every game. Another big news coming out of Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin comes out today and says Big Ben might play. I think he'll be out there, but man, what a warrior that guy is. I mean, 2 weeks ago, torn meniscus. Most guys would be out 4 to 6 weeks. Coming back for a vital, important game against the Baltimore Ravens, division game. Two teams that are fighting for, you know, first place in that off good starts that have kind of sputtered lately with injuries and just from a Ravens perspective, just not good play, losing close games, no running game. But I think Big Ben will be out there, and obviously that means everything for that team. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Sammy Coates. Looks like Marcus Wheaton's fell out of favor, not even listed as a starter anymore over Darius Hayward Bay. I expect Sammy Coates to still be the number two receiver. He's definitely one I'd watch there, especially with Big Ben. This makes Ladarius Green, who should be back in a week or two, a viable fantasy option. Jesse James in the short term. This is a good matchup for all Pittsburgh guys. Definitely something I'd watch. I'd be out there. If he could play, there's nothing going to keep him out. So I really, really wouldn't worry too much about that. He should be pretty mobile, but, you know, I don't think they'd rush him back out there if he wasn't 100%. So Big Ben, if he's playing, you're obviously starting him. He's a top five option this week against a overrated Baltimore defense that really hasn't shown much from rushing the passer this year. So if Big Ben's out there, they clearly trust him, and he's a must start in fantasy circles. Another cloudy situation for fantasy owners all season, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the running back situation. I mean, what a disaster. Doug Martin, high draft pick. Really, 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 really disappointed fantasy owners. I mean, when's he going to be back? Is he going to be back? There's just way too many questions that really you can even depend on Doug Martin. He's getting close to droppable right now. With fantasy playoffs coming right around the corner and big-time games coming up with bye weeks, I mean, I'll hold on to him for a week or two. If he's not back, I mean, it's time to give up after the bye week on Doug Martin, in my opinion. Charles Sims, first on the scene when Martin got hurt, had a couple good games. Then he got hurt. He's done. So, Jaquizz Rodgers, first onto the scene, had a couple solid games. Now, he looks like he's going to be out for a couple weeks. You're looking at a really, really ugly situation in Tampa Bay this Thursday night against Atlanta. Even though it's a great spot to use one of these guys, Peyton Barber, Anton Smith, I mean, if you're a gambler like I am, I might take a shot on one of those two guys. Peyton Barber would be the guy I took a shot on just because he's shown a little bit in against the 49ers with a nice long run. But they already said it's going to be a running back by committee. So if you really want to gamble, I would take Barber, but not really with much confidence. It's definitely a major, major question on the play. Other more running back news. I feel like every week we talk about the same, you know, running back problems, whether it's guys losing their jobs, guys getting injured, fumbling, whatever it is. Mark Ingram, after a critical first half fumble that led to a Seattle defensive touchdown, pretty much benched, didn't play at all. Tim Hightower looks like he could be the guy. He had a very, 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 very impressive, you know, game against a very, very solid Seattle defense. Obviously, he looks like he's a guy that will be very, very solid down the stretch. But will they give him the ball? I mean, you just never know in New Orleans. Is Mark Ingram going to be the guy? I mean, it's been like this for a while. You just never know who they can depend on. They never just settle on one guy. Hightower has been impressive, but, I mean, it's another running back by committee that I would avoid. Daily circles, I wouldn't use either of them. I mean, it's just too much of a question right now to really depend on each one of the guy. I mean, they got a great matchup this week against San Francisco 49ers, a game that I will be targeting all over as much as I can. I love picking on Chip Kelly and his terrible, terrible head coaching in the NFL because he's going to give your offense the ball plenty of times. So I'm picking up Tim Hightower this week as a speculation guy because he's obviously available in pretty much every league. Mark Ingram, I would start him. I mean, in this matchup, I'm not happy about it, but it's a great matchup against the San Francisco team who stinks flat out. They are terrible. They really bring nothing to the table from a fantasy perspective, not Carlos Hyde. It's just, I don't know if Chip Kelly still has a job in the NFL. He's a terrible football coach, but this situation is good for fantasy owners. So Hightower's a top five ad this week, more of speculation than something I could say you can count on. But if he emerges, he could have a job and could be a valuable fantasy committee for the year. So definitely something I'd watch. Definitely a guy I would pick up. Carson Palmer just lost his left tackle to season-ending surgery. That's critical. If anybody watched that Carolina game, they beat the crap out of him. I mean, it was ugly. I mean, Carolina pretty much did whatever they want. That offensive line is a disaster right now, and everybody's suffering. I mean, no, Carson Palmer has no time. If it wasn't for David Johnson, they might be a one-win team right now. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's doing everything. He's a little banged up with an ankle. J.J. Nelson's being listed as a starter right now. Definitely a guy that should come across, you know, waiver wires this week as a guy to think about adding with potential because the guy has great speed. And Michael Floyd clearly has fallen out of favor with the coach. So J.J. Nelson's a guy to watch. But, man, that offensive line needs to figure it out quickly because if they don't, Carson Palmer might not make it through the season. And that's a very, 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 very tough situation to watch because that division – St. Louis is an aggressive defense. Seattle is an aggressive defense. Two defenses to watch that could really hurt Carson Palmer because that offensive line is killing him right now. Other news, Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb killed fantasy owners last week in another A-plus matchup. Unless you're a Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson owner or some of them other guys who, honestly, I can't even remember who scored touchdowns because nobody's ever heard of them. That's what fantasy football is sometimes. It's crazy. I mean, guys you just never heard of catching touchdowns over guys who are first, second-round picks. It drives you nuts. I mean, if you're not Aaron Rodgers owner last week, you know, Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson put up numbers, but, man, they could have been a lot better. I mean, Davante Adams had close to 20 targets and was solid, but not great. But Ty Montgomery should be back. He had a sickle cell issue last week. They said he should be back. Randall Cobb, questionable. You'll know more tomorrow when they release, you know, a preliminary injury report for the week. I think both guys play, but both guys are definitely ones to watch. They cut Niall Davis this week, so that means if James Starks is available in some leagues, I would look at adding him because they still don't have any running backs. Don Johnson or John Jackson, whatever his name is a jobber. He's not anybody that's bringing anything to the table from a fantasy perspective. So definitely not something that if Ty Montgomery's not listed as a running back in your league, don't even worry about picking up any Green Bay running backs not named James Starks because that situation is very, very, very ugly right now. Travis Benjamin, sprained PCL, another big injury in fantasy football. I mean, geez. Phillip Rivers, I mean, that guy deserves some sort of award when he retires. Antonio Gates seems to be always hurt. Keenan Allen, big injury to start the season, killed fantasy owners, including myself and Joe in a lot of spots. Dontrell Emmons looks like the next man up, and then Hunter Henry, Antonio Gates, all valuable, and obviously Tyrell Williams. They're fantasy starters if Benjamin looks like he's going to miss some time. So definitely an injury I'd watch. I mean, again, a little early in the week to really tell if he's going to miss some serious time, but that injury is no joke from a speed receiver. I mean, he's kind of been average so far, and most people thought he was going to be big after the Allen injury. He's had his moments, but definitely something to watch that Tyrell Williams could break out even more in a good spot. This week's a pretty big week for free agents. I mean, again, another tough bye week all around. Let's look at some quarterbacks that could be in spots that in deeper leagues. I mean, obviously we go over the same names every week. They're probably not available. I'm going to try to avoid that this week so we can get to the more important stuff later in the show. Ryan Tannehill, not in a bad spot this week. I actually like him as a speculation guy if you're struggling at quarterback. New York Jets secondary is abysmal. Josh McCown just lit him up. Darrell Revis is done. I mean, they're talking about cutting him already at the end of the season. I mean, it's not a good situation in New York right now. Ryan Tannehill's a guy I'm looking at. Other names are going to be out there. Joe Flacco. Don't mind him if Steve Smith's back against Pittsburgh. Their secondary is still very, very suspect. I don't like, obviously, Tyrod Taylor at Buffalo. I mean, you know, Buffalo at Seattle, not a good matchup at all. Alex Smith has had two A-plus matchups and been average at best, even against another good matchup against Jacksonville. The upside's just not there. I'm gambling on a guy like Josh McCown, even Colin Kaepernick against New Orleans, if I was really, really desperate. The upside just is not there with Alex Smith. They don't throw the ball enough. They really have no targets. Outside of Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce, the rest of the guys are just a bunch of bums. Average NFL players who just are there by accident because Andy Reid just sometimes is an idiot and ignores, you know, positions that should be more of a strength that could help him. Kansas City Chiefs every year, I mean, they always get to the playoffs. People get all excited about them, and then their offense just drops the ball when it comes to the down to making the big plays against the big teams, the Tom Brady's, the, you know, Big Ben's of the world. I mean, anybody can beat Brian Hoyer in the playoffs. Let's not get too excited about that. Every season, it seems like Kansas City gets that one win, but frankly, they're not going to get any other wins because the AFC is a lot more stacked than the NFC this year. So quarterbacks, again, I mean, you got a lot of guys off. Jay Cutler, after a good performance, don't get too excited. Brock Osweiler is a stiff. I wouldn't start him in any format. I mean, A-plus matchups, it doesn't matter what it is. That guy just is not getting it done. I feel really bad for DeAndre Hopkins' owners. It's not his fault. He's doing everything he can out there. But frankly, he's just, you know, Osweiler's just not getting the ball. It's an ugly situation. They're winning games, so I guess it's saving his butt a little bit. But, man, he does not look good in there, out there at all. The running back position is definitely something you got to look at this week again. A lot of guys who are going to be crossing the waiver wire, who are guys to look at. We mentioned Charkandrick West. Definitely number one option by far. Tim Hightower, we mentioned, you got to add him. Maybe a speculation start this week against San Francisco. Again, great matchup. Do I like him long-term over Mark Ingram? No. But we all know the New Orleans Saints are a bad football team defensively, so they're always going to have to score points. And I just think that Tim Hightower brings slightly more to the table short-term, but I like Mark Ingram a little bit long-term. But again, not a running back by committee I'm really, really overly excited about. Other guys to look at, we mentioned Peyton Barber, Anton Smith. Two guys, Atlanta Falcons this week, Thursday night. It's a gamble play. It's not a play I'm endorsing. Not guys I'm really crazy about. Alfred Blue is a name to watch. You know, backup Lamar Miller. I always like speculation ad guys who are backups sitting on the bench. I mean, it only takes one injury for you to have a top 5-10 type of guy. People are going to be picking up Jeremy Langford. I was a Jeremy Langford guy all season. Loved the guy. Thought he was going to break out. Top 10 potential running back and got hurt. Sputtered at the beginning of the season. And now Jordan Howard's clearly the better back. And clearly will get plenty of touches. Other deep names, receiver. I mean, there's, again, a lot of guys at the receiver position this week that are worth ads. Number one, J.J. Nelson. I know he's on bye week this week, and most people will just ignore him. Don't ignore him. That offense is going to be throwing the ball. He has a lot of speed. Carson Palmer throws a pretty good deep ball. He's passed Michael Floyd on the depth chart. Definitely look at him. Definitely a guy I would add. Andrew Hawkins. People are going to add him. I wouldn't. Corey Coleman will be back. Terrell Pryor is a beast this year. That team will still be throwing the ball around plenty. So Andrew Hawkins, great game, but that's a one-week thing for me. Not a guy I'm adding. Kendall Wright's number one receiver in Tennessee right now, not named Delanie Walker. He's a guy that's getting targets. I mean, will he get enough targets for an every-week start? No. But he's definitely a guy that is worth a spot on your bench right now. Definitely a guy that, you know, should be on fantasy teams. If he's not already, pick him up. Definitely worth a look this week. Other guys to look at, Dontrell Inman, we mentioned. If Travis Benjamin misses any period of time, it definitely is something to watch from a fantasy perspective because Tennessee is a good matchup. Phillip Rivers is going to be still throwing the ball around. So let's, you know, make that clear as possible. Dontrell Inman could be a fantasy star this week and one with confidence if Travis Benjamin's out. Other guys a little deeper to look at, Dorial Green-Beckham. Got a lot of targets this week, dropped some passes. I really don't want to get started on the Eagles' run, as tough as that's going to be after that abysmal loss to the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll just try to keep on task here. Green Beckham looks like, besides Jordan Matthews, the only guy that's getting the looks from Carson Wentz. So he's definitely a guy against the Giants that, again, another speculation ad. You just don't know. I wouldn't get too excited about it, but they didn't add anybody today, which makes no sense at the trade deadline. So definitely something I would look at from a fantasy perspective as a guy who could be a speculation play, maybe break out. The talent's there. Targets are starting to come. Definitely something I would look at. Other guys, Russell Shepherd got banged up, missed practice. I said last week he was a good ad, scored a touchdown, didn't get a lot of targets, but, you know, did enough to warrant, you know, a look. Again, not a guy I'm crazy about, but definitely a guy that, you know, I would look at from a fantasy perspective if you got an empty roster spot, because Jameis Winston's going to be throwing the ball a lot, no running game. We all know Atlanta loves to score. Highest scoring team in the NFL. So if you want to gamble, if Russell Shepard's out there Thursday, he is a little banged up. So that's definitely something to watch. He might be a DFS gamble, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever you play. A guy, if you want to, you know, take a shot on a player, I would take probably a bigger shot on an Adam Humphries type of player if it was me, just because it's a little more safer. But definitely something to watch, definitely something to look at. Outside of that, receiver-wise, I mean, we pretty much mentioned everybody. Tight end's another, you know, Eric Ebron's available in a couple spots. Looks like he's getting more targets, coming back 100%. Austin Hooper from Atlanta, Jacob Tammy's out this week as a very, very speculative one-week ad. Tampa Bay is not great against the pass. Definitely some guy to look at. I would definitely pick him up. Again, Jacob Tammy will not play this week. Definitely something that, you know, if you want to get a little tricky, get a little cute, it could work out for you. Because, again, I expect that game to, for once on Thursday Night Football, live up to expectations that you'd actually be paying attention after the third quarter. Outside of that, I mean, there is tight end position this year is another position that's been very, very questionable at best. I mean, not many guys that are really jumping off the page right now are guys that I'm looking at. We pretty much went over the free agents that I would personally be looking at. I mean, there's you know, other news. Carlos Hyde appears to be on track, ready to go this week. I expect him to be out there. You know, he's another name that, you know, being on bye week last week, he should be ready to go. You know, I really wouldn't get, you know, too crazy about that. Other guys that are popping up in the news, Nile Davis signed with the Jets today, and a couple hours later they cut him for C.J. Spiller. Really, really crazy news overall. I mean, why sign him and then cut him? I mean, it's pretty bad business, but I guess it's New York. What else do you expect? I mean, that team's in a total disarray right now. I don't care how Ryan Fitzpatrick's looking. He still stinks. Paul Perkins, other late names, guys who people keep saying he's going to be involved in the offense more. I don't see it. They've got a lot of very below-average running backs. Rashad Jennings is a bum. Darkwa's a jobber. Rainey is an average NFL player at best, you know, passing game threat, if anything. Paul Perkins has shown some splashes. So, I mean, again, another speculation ad. Other than that, we pretty much went over all the news. We're going to get into some game previews for this week. There's a lot of action, a lot of good games, a lot of high over-unders. We like trying to target. Number one, we're going to look at Tampa Bay Bucks, Atlanta Falcons. By far, top over-under probably of you're going to see on a Thursday night game in a while. I mean, Jameis Winston pretty much as close to a must-start as possible in this matchup. Mike Evans, you know, I'm going to talk about you're starting him. Cameron Brate, I like in this matchup. I think, you know, the tight end position is something against Atlanta they could target. Again, we went over the running back position, the second receiver position. Big gambles. Peyton Barber will be the guy I would use. Over Smith, if it was me, not with confidence at all. Adam Humphries is a guy I would use over Russell Shepherd with confidence, not at all. From a Falcons perspective, watch Tevin Coleman. I expect him to miss another game. If so, Devonta Freeman's a must start in this game. He could really be the number one overall running back on the whole lineup this weekend. Definitely a guy that I would look at if Tevin Coleman does not play. Matt Ryan, number one fantasy quarterback, or very close to it in most formats. Must start, 100%. Julio Jones, you're using. Mohamed Sanu, I like in this matchup. They're not very good. You saw what Amari Cooper and the boys did in with Oakland last week. I'm starting all them guys with confidence. We mentioned the tight end. If you're looking to get cute, definitely a guy I would look at. The 1 o'clock game Sunday, I mean, there's, again, a lot of matchups you want to look at from a fantasy perspective. Eagles-Giants, man, that loss against the Dallas Cowboys still stings for my Eagles. I mean, Doug Peterson, the defense, the running game, catch the ball, receivers. I mean, we can go on and on. This is a matchup that they got to win. I mean, another tough, tough road game coming off that tough loss to Dallas. I mean, that team's got to come out fired up. I mean, the Giants coming off a bye is definitely something that is very, very scary from a fantasy perspective. So, Odell Beckham must start in this game. Eli Manning, I like in this game. The running back position we talked about, none that I'm crazy about. I don't like any of them. None of them that I'm really getting overly excited about. Eagles-wise, Carson Wentz is not a fantasy starter. They just don't want to throw the ball down the field. Darren Sproles is a fantasy starter. They clearly like him more than that. He's clearly going to get the majority of the carries and majority of the catches in the passing game. And realistically, outside of him and Jordan Matthews, I'm not using anybody else on the Eagles. I mean, it's a matchup that could and should be a high-scoring game, you would think. But the way the Eagles are playing offensively, it's not impressive right now. I mean, I don't know what happened early in the season when they were no huddle, up-tempo, moving the ball. You know, taking some shots down the field. Everything is dink and dunk right now. It reminds me of Andy Reid. And I hate the Andy Reid offense. I criticize Alex Smith in Kansas City more than anyone. That offense is just not winning in the NFL. So I really hope they open it up a little bit against the Giants defense that can definitely be picked on the secondary. Even coming off a bye week, their defense is not playing great football. So hopefully, you know, from a homer's perspective, the Eagles really start stepping it up on the offensive side of the ball. Not the best game, but obviously the stars in this game, Odell Beckham, you're using. Jordan Matthews, you're using. Darren Sproles, using. Zach Ertz, I'm probably passing in this matchup because he's been a big fantasy bust this year when most people thought he was going to have a breakout top five potential campaign. Moving on, Ravens, Steelers. Big Ben, if he plays, must start. If he doesn't, you're still starting Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, but that's it. If he does play, Sammy Coates is in play. Definitely a guy you're looking at. From a Ravens perspective, Terrence West is still the guy. Kenneth Dixon is not given the chance yet. Don't know why, because I think Kenneth Dixon's the better running back. But you just never know with the Ravens. They don't like settling on that. I really like Joe Flacco in this matchup, especially if Steve Smith's back, which all signs point that he will be. Mike Wallace, Perryman, not guys I'm excited about. Dennis Pitt, I love in this matchup. He's definitely a guy that's kind of been stuck in neutral the last couple weeks. Definitely a guy that could be underused, especially in a daily format. Like him in this matchup, he could have a 80-yard, you know, 7-catch, touchdown type of night, which is always positive from a tight end. Cowboys-Browns, again, Dak Prescott playing great football, great comeback win against the Eagles. Not much I really else want to say about the Cowboys because I just don't like them. Ezekiel Elliott is a beast right now. Guy is just playing outstanding football. I mean, top five running back in the NFL right now. Friend of mine thinks he's, you know, the number one running back in fantasy football. I don't know about that. I still think I'd take David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, but I guess I'll justify it a little bit because behind that offensive line, pretty much anybody can look good right now. Dez Bryant, must start. Cole Beasley, I like him in this matchup. I don't love him. Not the greatest spot for him. Jason Witten, I'm never using unless I'm desperate because the targets just aren't there anymore. From a Cleveland perspective, Josh McClellan is just slinging the ball all over. Love Terrell Pryor in this matchup, especially with the news that Maurice Claiborne is going to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks. That's a big injury for the Dallas defense. And when I expect Corey Coleman to be back, this could be a really, really tricky, under-the-radar, daily fantasy sports matchup. McCown, Terrell Pryor, Gary Barnes let fantasy owners down, including myself, last week. Really, really killed me. I'm pretty much done on the Gary Barnes train. But most of the time when people say that, Gary Barnes could be a guy that looked this week because Dallas defense is extremely banged up. Claiborne banged up. There were a couple other guys in the secondary and nursing injuries. Definitely one to watch from a fantasy perspective. So definitely one to stay, you know, keep an eye on. If McCown's a starter, I really like McCown and Terrell Pryor in this matchup. Chiefs-Jaguars, another matchup that is, from a fantasy perspective, shouldn't be the prettiest. Jacksonville stinks right now. I mean, garbage touchdowns we love in fantasy football, but from an NFL perspective, Jacksonville Jaguars are tough to watch. I mean, they're trying to get the ball to Allen Robinson, and we love that and everything, but they're not even – there's no juice behind the team. It's just ugly, ugly situation. Like, if it wasn't for garbage points, people probably would have cut Allen Hurts. People would probably be trying to bench Allen Robinson. Julius Thomas, he looks like fat and slow. Like, what are they doing? They have no running game. The offensive line they spent money on. The defense is undisciplined, taking stupid penalties. How does Gus Bradley still have a job? I'm still trying to figure that out. They're 2-5. That team is supposed to be a breakout team this year. Blake Bortles looks like a high school quarterback. I mean, it is awful to watch. I mean, they're just getting beat up by teams. Again, if it wasn't for late fantasy numbers, like, it would be ugly. And it's ugly right now in Jacksonville. And it's not getting any better because this Chiefs defense is going to hit people. I mean, their offense, we've talked about, doesn't excite me. Jeremy Maclin's still a starter. Charkendrick West is a must-start in every format. Again, just like Devontae Booker last week, you almost have to start him. He's so cheap across the board everywhere, free agent all over. Must add, 100% used. Other than that, you got to use Allen Robinson in this game. You draft the guy as a first-round pick. I don't know how you just sit him unless you have better options. Other than that, Travis Kelce finally broke out last week, finally had the game that we were expecting all season. So he's definitely a guy that I continue to say start. It's a good matchup against an undisciplined defense. The trickiest game of the week from a fantasy perspective is the one I'm about to mention, Jets-Dolphins. Most people will be like, Jets-Dolphins, these teams stink. But from a fantasy perspective, this could be a really, really, really game that I'm targeting. Love Jarvis Landry in this matchup. Love Ryan Tannehill in this matchup. And I don't like Ryan Tannehill at all as a player. Jay Ajayi, two monster games. Sucks the bye week came because he was setting the NFL on fire. I mean, this guy's just a monster right now. Arian Foster retires. Jay Ajayi's a absolute 1,000% must start in this game. Other than that, I'm not starting anybody from a Dolphins perspective. Devonta Parker, I guess, is speculative. Kenny Stills, I guess, not crazy about it either. So don't get too wild with them. From a Jets perspective, Brandon Marshall disappointed last week. I love guys who disappoint and then in the following week get to play Byron Maxwell and the terrible Miami Dolphins defense. Brandon Marshall is, if not my number one, my number two play of the week in daily fantasy sports. I think he could be a 30-plus and potentially higher type of fantasy player this week. Love the matchup against the Miami Dolphins. It should be a high-scoring game and one to target with two very suspect defenses to watch. Next game up, Lions-Vikings. Another game that the Vikings stink right now. I mean, Sam Bradford, that MVP love affair, we're going undefeated, we're doing this. I'm still shocked that Howie Roseman got a first-round pick because Sam Bradford sucks. Let's just get that out. Sam Bradford is not a good NFL quarterback. I don't even think he's a game manager. The defense can't only win so many games. I don't want to hear Adrian Peterson's not playing. I don't want to hear that offensive line's in shambles. There's always an excuse for Sam Bradford. And I like the Lions in this matchup. I love their skill position players. Marvin Jones has been a disappointment lately, but you know, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron are picking it up. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, not crazy about him. Theo Riddick's the only guy I'm really, really targeting in this game, just because he's really all they have. Vikings perspective, Stephon Diggs, 100% play, even with Sam Bradford, if Darius Slay does not play. I love this matchup for Stephon Diggs, but the ceiling with Sam Bradford is just not exciting to me. Kyle Rudolph's been a little down the last couple weeks. I do like him in this matchup too, but again, I expect this game to be an ugly game from a fantasy perspective, not something I'm excited about. Next up, we got the Rams-Panthers. Cam Newton just getting beat up, whining about it, everybody says. I think the guy got a point. I mean, he's just getting killed and not getting the calls. I mean, some of them hits he's taken, I don't care how big he is, I don't care, you know, how much he runs people over. He's just, he deserves the calls. Some of these other baby calls the quarterbacks are getting for touching the face mask is embarrassing. I think Cam Newton got a point. I know people criticize him more than probably any other quarterback in the league, but he does have a point. And in this matchup, the LA Rams, and my beloved Jeff Fisher, who's a complete idiot as a head coach, their defense will hit Cam Newton, so this game could get ugly. From a fantasy perspective, I still love Cam Newton, Calvin Benjamin, and Greg Olsen, all guys you're starting. I'm not starting Jonathan Stewart unless I'm desperate. From a Rams perspective, Todd Gurley, you ain't getting a better matchup for Todd Gurley. The Panthers' defense has been suspect at best. They did play well against David Johnson last week, but, you know, not a matchup I'm really targeting. I like Kenny Britt in this game. He's definitely one to watch. Had a very impressive fantasy season. Has shut me up a little bit. Outside of that, not anything I'm excited about. My number one game from a fantasy perspective, especially a team perspective, is the New Orleans Saints, San Francisco 49ers. Love the Saints in this matchup. This is exceptional as they come. Cooks, Michael Thomas, Willie Snead, Kelby Fleener, the running backs we've mentioned already with Hightower and Mark Ingram. I'll probably use one or the other, gamble one. If you get Hightower, use him. He's going to get plenty of touches. Drew Brees, probably my number one quarterback, you know, up there with Matt Ryan on the week. Two guys I love. 49ers, Carlos Hyde, he's back. He's a must-start. Saints defense still sucks. I like Jeremy Curley in this matchup. Colin Kaepernick, if you're desperate at quarterback, you ain't going to find a better matchup than the Saints. This game will put up points, even as bad as Colin Kaepernick is as a player. Titans Chargers, another game I'm definitely looking at. Mariota's been playing great football lately. Not setting the world on fire. He's not really getting the ball to the receivers, but Kendall Wright's making plays. Lane Walker's still out there, and DeMarco Murray is running possessed. Definitely a guy that, you know, I like from a fantasy perspective. Mariota this week against a secondary that's suspect at best, in my opinion, in San Diego. They're playing better football, but not football enough that I'm crazy about. Derrick Henry, I'm not using. I mean, that was a lot of garbage time he got against Jacksonville on Thursday Night Football. Chargers, again, pay attention to Travis Benjamin. Melvin Gordon should bounce back this week, have a very, very solid effort. Love Phillip Rivers in this matchup. Tyrell Williams, Gates Henry, they're all guys you got to play. The fantasy game of the week in most people's eyes will be Green Bay against Indianapolis. You know, marquee offenses, very, very suspect defenses right now. Aaron Rodgers, great play in this game. Probably the number one quarterback owned in most formats. Andrew Luck, obviously you're using both. Randall Cobb should be back. Ty Montgomery should be back. Two guys you got to look at from a fantasy perspective. If they play, you use them. Jordy Nelson, you're using. Davante Adams, I'm still using. Running backs in Green Bay, I already mentioned, no. We'll talk about from the Colts perspective. Frank Gore, using him. I mean, again, he's not going to set the world on fire, but he's going to get you a consistent number, and that's really all you can ask for from a fantasy perspective. T.Y. Hilton, I'm using. Dante Moncrief, I'm using. Jack Doyle, my boy Jack Doyle, I'm using. He's still getting the targets. He came back down to earth a little bit last week, but Jack Doyle still won me $100,000, so he can do whatever he wants, and I don't care. Love that guy. Next game up, Denver against the Raiders. Derek Carr, man, what a game this is going to be. The 6-2 Oakland Raiders. I don't think anybody ever thought those words would come out of anybody's mouth because, man, they are playing some impressive football right now. It's a sight to see. Derek Carr is playing just outstanding. You got Amari Cooper, Seth Roberts, Michael Crabtree. If they could just depend on Latavius Murray or find a running back that's going to step up for him, man, this team has it. They have that factor. If that defense can just play solid football, man, the future is bright in Oakland. This team could be a really, really solid down-the-road type of team. Man, I'm really impressed with them. Another, after Janikowski missed those two field goals, I mean, Derek Carr just comes back and answers the bell. Amari Cooper, what a game. I mean, I don't think he's going to set the world on fire in this matchup, but against a great Denver defense, good secondary. But watch out. If Talib does not play again, definitely something to watch. From a Denver perspective, Trevor Siemian's a guy that could sneak under the radar. It's not a bad matchup. I don't like his ceiling. Guys like that, I'll gamble on a Colin Kaepernick against New Orleans over Trevor Siemian. Devonta Booker, disappointed last week, did score a touchdown, but definitely a guy that if he's playing, you're starting this week. Love Demaryius Thomas in this matchup. Love Emmanuel Sanders in this matchup. Two guys that I'm definitely looking at from a fantasy perspective and a daily perspective that could be sneaky guys who, you know, we like to say we always love to chase guys, the guys who, you know, are definitely guys who could win you money late. When you're sitting there watching games, it's always fun. You know, when there's only one game on, you know you have that guy, and mostly nobody else does. So it's definitely something to watch. This is going to be a really impressive Sunday night game. The black hole in Oakland should be wild. I mean, it's going to be definitely a sight to see. Really excited to watch that game, see if Derek Carr answers the bell, home game, to take the lead in division. And I don't think many people ever thought that would ever come out of anybody's mouth, especially this early in Oakland. I mean, it's been an impressive start for them. Finally, the Monday Night Football game. I mean, Bills Seahawks, from a fantasy perspective, it's ugly. It's not pretty. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it at all. Seattle, I mean, let's just say what it is. Russell Wilson is not a good fantasy quarterback right now. And frankly, he's not a good NFL quarterback. He's just not getting it done. I mean, let's just make him. He's not running the ball, so he's really just an average NFL quarterback. If he can't run, that kills you from a fantasy perspective. He's a bench player. He's not a starter. His ceiling is just never going to be high. I mean, the receiving core isn't great. They're not getting Doug Baldwin the ball enough. Jimmy Graham, you know, has had his moments, but I think they could use him more. Christian Michaels kind of came back to earth a little bit. I do like him in this matchup. The Bills defense, after just getting beat the piss out of him by Tom Brady. I mean, Rex Ryan, how do you still have a job? All that yippity-yap you're doing, you start off, you win all those games in a row, and then you lose to Jay Ajayi, 200 yards in the Miami scrub Dolphins. I mean, Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan, please, just stick to the defensive coordinator because you're not an NFL head coach. You can't get the job done. So don't expect anything from the Buffalo Bills in this game. If LeSean McCoy plays, you got to use him. He's definitely a guy that I'm looking at, you know, speculative. I mean, he's a beast if he plays, but it's not a great matchup for him. If he doesn't play, you know, it's an ugly situation all around. And it just got uglier today when they signed Percy Harvin. I mean, let's be serious. Talking about Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin hasn't been relevant for years. He's had one impressive game, I think, in the last 3 years. The guy gets hurt every day. I mean, they said they're trying to catch lightning in the bottle. Good luck, because Percy Harvin is not going to get the job done. We pretty much covered all the game reviews. We got about 2 minutes left in the show, cutting it a little early tonight. Daily perspective, DraftKings this week, another, you know, a lot of great contests. FanDuel, again, get on over there, you know, take some shots. You know, if you ever need a lineup, send us a message at our Facebook page on the BFD page, and I'll be happy to send you whatever you need. I mean, guys I like this week, we mentioned Drew Brees. You know, Cam Newton's not in a bad spot. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill, a little deep. Colin Kaepernick, Matt Ryan, if you're playing the Thursday games, guys to look at. Running back position, again, Charkandrick West, number one player. Ezekiel Elliott, I like him in the matchup against, you know, if you're going to spend on a running back, which most of us guys don't do. Devonta Booker, really price got driven up. At that price point, I'm going to like Melvin Gordon a little bit cheaper. Jay Ajayi, again, another monster matchup coming up for him. Wide receiver, I love Odell Beckham. Amari Cooper's probably going to get overdrafted. T.Y. Hilton, another favorite this week. I'm starting a lot of teams with T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck. Brandon Cooks, another guy that I'm looking at, should be good. Love Brandon Marshall again. I'm just going to go on record. He's my number one fantasy play this week. They should torch the Miami secondary, even with Ryan Patrick throwing the ball. I mean, Terrell Pryor's the guy I'm looking at. Stephon Diggs. From a tight end perspective, Hunter Henry, guy I like. Kobe Fleener, my man Jack Doyle, Kyle Rudolph, Delanie Walker. I mean, all guys that you're going to be looking at from a fantasy perspective that will put up numbers for you. It looks like we're going to wrap it up here. You know, hopefully, you know, you got enough info tonight that can get you ready for week 9. Again, if you have any questions, you can send me a message on Twitter or Facebook page. You know, whatever you need, just ask. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life. As much as I like talking, talking to yourself before you cut fucking knife. Thank you.
Get a paycheck, but he probably doesn't care.
Thank you. That guy is on the wall.
On the wall.
Foreseeable future, this game Thank you. came into games with men on an unclean egg, so to speak. He's been all over that. He's had the bases clear behind him. He's looking good. There's a San Ramirez over the land next to right one.
Thank you. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah.
check in with Tom Bernucci. Joe, but Joe Madden, Joe, you've confounded armchair managers all over the country, bringing your closer into the game with only even the seventh inning of the game. And then in the ninth inning, having gone out there and lead up seven runs. Please explain how you used your oldest Chapman. So you thought he had stroke ready. That happened so quickly with the home throw. We had to get him ready. I wanted to get him out there, but that's why I went out for one hitter only. Here is out for throwing the one you saw in the game. Quite a bit earlier because that's the part of the order he had to get out. He did not want the game to get away from him. That's 6 and 0, so we've all worked out one. So he has thrown 62 pitches in the last 3 days. What do you anticipate in terms of tomorrow's length and effectiveness on the Rollins Chapman?
I really anticipate a lot of the same. I do. He's a very strong young man, and again, I'll talk to him later today and tomorrow, but I think he's going to be fine also.
Thanks, Joe. See you in game 7. And with me also, Chris Bryant. Chris, you got this game off to a start for the Cubs with the home run in the first inning. The curveball from Josh Thompson. Tell me about the approach on that swing.
He was a pretty good pitch. It was a way, I mean, he only knew about the curveball, but it's kind of how it's been going this series, but, you know, it's not really going to come in at the time. And, you know, I love that curveball.
Five hits in your last 7 at-bats, 2 of those home runs. How do you feel about the way you're swinging it right now?
I'm just good. I mean, it's definitely at the right time. You know, I hope this team are back to get the ball. I thought, you know, 2 days ago, we thought tonight, which is really good baseball.
You get to do it again tomorrow, back to get the ball for a game 7. How does that feel?
It's great for that, man. I mean, we know it's going to be a good game, and we know their guys can be good. We know one of our best pitchers this year, too, probably. So, it's great for this man.
Next Christmas, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.